Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show which brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe or hit the bell icon. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted to have as our guest Carlos Sentis. Hey, Carlos, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes. Allow me to introduce Carlos a little bit more. He's a global citizen from Spain, educated in information science and communication, and is the CEO of the World Innovation Alliance. That's his main role, but next to running the World Innovation Alliance, he's part of the World Humanitarian Forum, presidential advisor to the European Union for Jeune, a global shaper of the World Economic Forum, a lecturer at over 16 universities, Vice President Impact Innovation at the Ariel Foundation International, AI World Society Young Leader. And I think the list isn't even finished. Carlos, is that true? These are all present activities you take care of.
It is all places where I am incredibly privileged and grateful to be a part of, or to just be connected to the platform so we can try to support each other in our common missions that happen to all be connected to making impact.
Great. But the main task you've taken upon yourself is to run and set up the World Innovation Alliance.
Yep.
Please take the audience to what is that? What do you do with that?
Great. Well, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm really happy to connect with you. We have a lot in common and so much to share. So it is a privilege to be a part of this as well. And I will start by just saying that this is a good initiative, and also knowing people from all over the world and connecting minds and allowing people to get to learn from experience of other people is really something valuable. So continue doing this great work. And what we're doing in WIA is basically bringing together companies, institutions, and remarkable individuals from different sectors, from more than 150 different countries that want to make a difference, that want to make the world a better place in a practical way. So what we do is we find and apply specific scalable solutions using technology, using innovation, using different frameworks of collaboration between different types of stakeholders. We do policy reform advisory. And what we're trying to do basically is just look for what are the best ways to solve the problems that are affecting the most people in the most negative way, and in a way that can be as easily implementable and as effective as possible, right? So we measure KPIs, we do our impact assessments and viability assessments to try to look for the solutions that are going to require the least investment, the least support, the least agreement that can be deployed as fast as possible.
That is quite an ambitious goal you've set with the World Innovation Alliance. Now, you just described what it is, but how did you set? Why did you set it up? What triggered you? We need this organization.
Well, it's the first time I'm asked this question, right? Why do we need this organization? And I really like it because it has been a real process of trying to answer a lot of questions, both in my life, but also questions about the world and questions about the types of organizations that we have. And I do believe in the potential of all of us to make an impact. And I also believe in the incredible amount of resources that we have, the talent, the time, the effort, the skills of millions of people all over the world, and also the incredible contributions of many organizations. I just happen to think that there are optimal paths to utilize all those resources that have not been deployed yet. I see that we could coordinate better and use better the solutions that exist, or create new solutions and go and try to implement them with the support of the public and private organizations, but also with individuals. So the why is, I see solutions. I see people that are willing to help but don't know what they can do, how to do it, or they don't have enough incentives to do so. I see incredible opportunities everywhere, and yet it seems that we continue doing endless debates about what could be done when it is very clear what needs to be done and we can't do it. And I see that we are in need of someone, and I think there's different organizations doing that, and we're trying to be a part of that, is able to actually connect the dots, right? We live in silos. We have careers that are normally devoted to one particular branch, one specialization. We think that we're only that, and I don't believe that for a second. But also our organizations, you have governments and you have specific departments within those governments, you have media outlets, you have companies, and every one of them is pretty separated from the rest, right? And normally you work in your own sector, your own industry. What we see is that there's a huge potential if you bring together different departments of an organization, if you bring together companies of different specializations, of different verticals. When you put together the public and the private sectors, there's a lot that can happen. But normally we also see that there lacks an executive branch. So you have committees and debates and events, but it is important to have someone that is responsible for executing and that can gain something of executing. And lastly, public and private is important, but then what about our citizens? I think one of the reasons why we're so disenchanted and so, I would say, disengaged from the political process and democracy is because we are not really a part of the process. And I think it is pretty easy to change that if we allow for citizen engagement in meaningful ways, because our citizens want to do something else than just vote or just expressing your opinion freely. Many individuals in our cities, in our countries, would like to be a part of the solution. They would like to improve their country or their city using their time, using their effort, their contacts, but they're not activated, right? So it's because we see problems that affect us, that make the world incredibly challenging, especially for people in need all over the world. We see solutions, we see people, talent, organizations, and we think that it would be useful to connect all that in a coordinated way and put some focus in the priorities that could potentially help to improve the lives of as many people as possible. And we do that with a very clear, I would say, mission of improving and expanding access to health, education, and economic development. Those are our main areas. There's 17 UN SDGs. We just want to make sure that we can help people have better education, because that can help dramatically in many aspects. Health is absolutely vital, both physical and mental, and economic development. Without that, all the rest can collapse as well, or never gets to be developed.
Carlos, let me stop you there and ask you a question based on something you just mentioned, the UN SDGs, the Sustainability Development Goals.
Yep.
I'm picking up a lot of passion and energy to execute on these ideas, but somewhere in your life, seems like you made a choice like, I'm going to do this myself, because the other choice could be, I'm going to knock on the door with the European Commission or the World Economic Forum and say, look, guys, can I help? So why did you make that choice to set something up new where you could also go to United Nations to say, look, I want to help? So why that choice?
It is a great question. I'm actually doing that as well. Yeah. So everything that we do is absolutely open for everyone. And we want to not only be inclusive in terms of race, we have people from all races, we have all religions, we have all ages, because we have people that are 11-year-old, people that are working for children's rights, for example, or climate activists that are 9 years old. We have retired people, veterans, people that are retired from the military. Mm-hmm. So we have all sorts of people, but also we are absolutely welcoming to all sorts of organizations. And we believe that the whole point is that we have more multi-stakeholder collaboration. And I don't care if they are under an WI project, if we do a project together, if I do it as Carlos, as an advisor, if I help in any way, I really don't care. Many times what we're doing is actually designing solutions and advocating for them. And we're sharing them for free. And they may mention us, they may not mention us, and we don't really care about that. The whole point is, how can I make the best possible impact in the world before I die, right? What is the potential that I have as an individual? What can I do? What vehicles can I use to actually maximize the impact that I create in the world before I leave? And so the answer to that question is, well, it seems to me that I'm going to need a vehicle. I'm going to need something that allows me to not only just be Carlos, but that we have more people that can be activated, that we can collaborate with each other, right? So, okay, seems that it is useful to have more people. It is useful to have an organization. And what we're doing is we're trying to create as many different divisions as we need in order to fulfill our mission. And so we have many different divisions. I'll end up in a second, but what we have is different branches that allow us to collaborate with different types of organizations or to solve different types of problems. And we don't need to be totally active all the time in every field, in every part of the world, but we'd rather be flexible and able to either advocate for solutions or implement solutions. And we're always going to be looking at what are the capacities that we have and how far can we get. Every time we're going to invite all the UN agencies, the European Union, governments of countries, media, and even celebrities and influencers and volunteers and students, we believe everybody has a role. We're not intending to be more or better or bigger or faster than anybody else. We're just trying to make sure that we do the best we can to facilitate that these solutions get implemented, if they are useful, and if not, that we together can find better solutions for the problems that are affecting us all.
Got that. So it seems like you've set up an organization which, the fabric of that organization did not exist in the ones you are collaborating with. Because it also rings me a bell, brings a question to me. To what extent would somebody from the UN or other organizations you invite to participate not say, well, look, we already have this. Why would we work with you to do make this happen? So how can you get them on board that they actually join?
Well, first of all, we don't expect that anyone joins anything. We're just trying to solve problems or help other people to solve problems, right? So the collaboration opportunities are endless. We can either find solutions together, share solutions with them, develop projects for them as consultants. We can collaborate as, create a partnership and do projects as two organizations working together. There's a million ways, and we don't need to go against what is the normal procedure of an organization to actually do what we want to do. We have no expectations, but we're trying to become useful. And in order to become useful, we're trying to do things that other people have more difficulties to do, right? First of all, because we are not a government, which means that we have certain freedom that other organizations don't have. International organizations that have member states have as well different limitations. And they are incredibly powerful, and they are doing incredible contributions. And we are just very happy that these institutions exist, that our development in society for the last centuries, and especially the last decades, the way these organizations have been able to provide so much value to make things better is remarkable. So we are just incredibly grateful for their service. And what we propose is that when we have a project where we are going to be executing without any restriction, we're just going to go and do something that is useful. And if they want, they can be a part of it in any way, because it can be beneficial for them, because we share the same goal, and we are never going to try to have even the audacity to say that we are more important than anyone else. We don't want to be important. We just want to be useful. And so because we're going to launch very effective projects, we're connecting different technologies that can have massive effects. We're going to connect many different, not only experts, but also public and private organizations that have enormous resources. Because we're going to have all that, it's just an asset that we put at their disposal, and we can work together in whatever capacity they want. But again, it's always going to be, we execute projects and we allow them to be a part of, or we can execute projects for others as well.
Got that. What I'm picking up, the uniqueness is what you're doing, is actually connecting the silos.
We are trying to connect silos, and we're also trying to be very practical. Because one of the problems that we see, and this is not with any organization, it's just the normal way we function, is we spend way more time doing events and reports and talking about potential problems or situations and than the time that we spend actually implementing them. And the reason for that is because A, we have to determine very clear roles for everyone, right? When you create an organization, you have a very clear role. And if your role is, you know, assessing something or analyzing something or just doing events, connecting people, whatever the role is, you don't have to expect them to do something else, right? That's fine. Now, there is no body or there's no company or there's no institution that we have seen whose role is to execute projects directly regardless, right? We haven't seen that. And we haven't seen anyone that is actually saying, okay, sometimes what we need is a new policy. Sometimes what we need is education. Sometimes what we need is a new technology. Sometimes what we need is something else. We haven't seen someone that is so multidisciplinary. And you may say, well, that is trying to cover too much. And the reality is that what we only cover is trying to identify solutions and connect solutions with the potential organizations or people that could implement those solutions. So we are just assessing, designing solutions, and we are just trying to push those solutions. The fact that there's many different sectors involved, I think reflects the diversity of resources that we all have available that normally we neglect because they are not part of our industry or they're not part of our mandate in our specific department or specific division of the government body that we're working for.
So what are the challenges to execute on these ideas in your CEO role? What are the main challenges on a day-to-day basis?
Problems are incredibly complex, and we're talking about large problems. When you talk about health issues, and not only COVID, but as well, mm-hmm. you know, problems are incredibly complex. So what we're just trying to do is try to simplify or break down big problems into smaller tasks and give call to actions that are specific. Now, but the question is, you know, how do you actually solve a problem in a way that not only do you end the problem, but also that it doesn't reappear later, or that it doesn't generate unintended negative consequences that you didn't think of. So solving problems is incredibly difficult, and that's why it is so much easier to talk about problems than to actually try to solve the problem. But there's a lot of people and a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of organizations that are actually implementing solutions, right? So what are the difficulties? Well, everything is difficult. It is difficult to even start working on projects that could solve problems. It is difficult to bring together different organizations. It is difficult to determine what is exactly the right problem to focus on, what are the best solutions to deal with it. It is difficult to deal with the operations of it, but also it is difficult to raise money and to actually have, I would say, the enough agreement around the problem, the solution, the strategy, and the actual project. Right. So, for example, you have an obvious need in education to deliver skills training. Right. There's 50% of jobs are going to change. More than 200 million people are unemployed. Companies are not finding the talent that has the skills that they're looking for. It's obvious that there's something to be done with education. Right. And so we have amazing schools and universities, and we have business schools, and we have training resources online. But seems that a lot of people are not really learning the skills that they need as fast as they need, right? So we're proposing several solutions that basically leverages all what we have and try to distribute as fast as we can. So the problem that we face, I'll finish in a second.
Yeah.
So the biggest problem that we face is not what skills are useful. That's pretty clear. It's not how to train on skills that are useful. That's not a problem. Is do we have the right technology to do that? Absolutely. Can we even print books for people that don't have access to the internet with practical skills that could help them find economic opportunities? Yes, we have. Now, what is the biggest problem is that we have this inertia from the education system, from governments, from our societies that just think that the education problem is a matter of let's try to basically give more master's degrees or more scholarship. We don't need more masters and we don't need more scholarships, I would say. I think that what we need really is to make sure that the content that is available, the incredible resources that we have already there, that are in video already, that are distributed to people that need it, and that has some sort of certification, because people don't feel comfortable with learning something if there's no certification attached to it. So the problem, well, I could tell you a billion problems. In fact, every project has many, many tasks that you have to do in order to even get the ball rolling. And then it's how can you create things in a way that are appealing and interesting for all the different types of stakeholders. And then you have to launch the project, and then you have to deal with all kinds of problems. Now, it would be impossible if it wasn't because most of the things that we're proposing and most of the solutions that are being implemented have been implemented in the past. If you say, no, the, for example, political system cannot change. Well, it has changed many times. The education system has changed. Every single startup and every single new company that creates a new model is actually executing on a solution. So it is very possible. The question is, how fast can we convince people that this is not only possible, but useful? And actually, how can we just ask them for the smallest amount of work and effort and investment and time so we actually can go forward? Because these solutions exist, and many of them have been around for decades.
I'm just listening to you, Carlos, and I hear so much energy and passion. And I'm just going to let the content rest for a minute, because I really want to understand where does your passion come from? What motivates you to spend so much time and passion on it?
Well, I started my career when I was 18, right? Mm-hmm. When I turned 18. And at that moment, I was pretty aimless. I was pretty useless. I didn't really know what I was doing. I was not even thinking about what I would do in the future. But I realized one day, and I have it written, that I was incredibly lucky, right? That my parents were very good to me. I was living in a safe environment. I was healthy. Everything around me was support and love and fun, and everything was good for me. And I started working as a journalist, and I started writing about international news, and everything was catastrophes and death and, you know, terrorist attacks and war. And so there was this dichotomy between my situation and how lucky I was, to live where I was living and to have the life that I had, and what was happening in the world. So I thought, okay, I need to do something, because obviously I have a better position. I have education, I have different resources that I may be able to deploy in the future. I clearly have the capacity of doing something if I just knew what to do, and if I had the actual resources or the experience, right? So not only that happened, but also I started writing about technology very early, right? And that changed my mind completely, because I also saw that there were a lot of technological solutions. I started watching TED Talks like crazy, and most people didn't know about them by then, but I was just watching hundreds of them and seeing that there's people that actually devote their lives to making the change, and that it's actually a profitable change many times, or they can build their careers on top of that. So that there's problems. I am fortunate to be in a position that I could help, and I'm happy. I have to appreciate what my parents have done for me, what other generations have done for me, and I just try to see, is there any solution or anything that I could do in my life to be useful, because I am not for now, right? And I started trying to become the best I could be. I still am very far away from being perfect, but what I have done is I have been doing self-assessments for already 14 years, trying to become better in every aspect, right? Trying to just learn more skills and learn more knowledge and understand better and try to have ideas and understand my mind and the mind of others, and try to see if I can come up with a life that is worth living, a life that is valuable for others, and a life where I basically get as close as possible to fulfilling my potential with a purpose that is being useful for others, but also in a balanced way, in a model that I call well-being, impact, and prosperity, which is basically that you need physical and mental health, and you need to try to be happy at least in order to sustain everything else. You need to create an impact, because otherwise your life is going to be meaningless. And at some point you're going to regret, and you're going to feel uncomfortable, and you're going to see others and you're going to envy. It's not going to be nice if you only focus on yourself. But then if you don't make money, life is miserable for anyone. It doesn't matter what country you're living in. So well-being, impact, and prosperity as the balance that helps me have a a canvas. But basically the whole point of my entire career has been trying to improve myself and improve the world. And if I'm not doing one, I'm trying to do the other. Now, am I good at anything? No, I'm not. I am just trying to be better. And just that, trying to aspire to be a better version of myself and trying to be useful for more people, that is a way better path than just allowing myself to be as bad as I can be, as any individual can become if you are in the wrong circumstances. And so I'm trying to, you know, be as similar to that as possible. Now, I think it is very difficult because not only he was incredibly intelligent, he was a political analyst, he was, you know, advisor, he was advising politicians when he was 23 years old on how to run elections in Spain or how to win elections. So he was incredibly talented, but also he put so much work. He was working in three different works at the same time while studying two different careers, right? He was doing politics and information science. So that example alone has been basically everything that I have needed to know what was right and what was not right, right? Not only because of the professional side, but also because of the way he treated people and how empathetic he was and how kind he was. And he never asked for anything for, you know, for anyone. So that example. And then there's a billion inspirations that I have. I am inspired by TED and everybody inside of it. I am inspired by the World Economic Forum, by the United Nations. I am inspired by the Red Cross. I am inspired by individuals like Tony Robbins or other people that are working incredibly hard to help other people to have a better life. And lastly, things like Khan Academy, where you have a system with content that allows millions of people to learn for free. Those things that are not only beautiful models, but are so practical and working so well already, are things that inspire me to not only do my best and put a lot of effort into it, but also to see, you know, what is possible and what is not, or what at least has been clearly established as possible because these people are doing it. All that gives me a lot of references. And then I just try to combine it all to say, well, knowing everything that there is, knowing the problems that I am aware of, knowing my capacities and my limitations and my flaws and my tendencies, what should I do in order to do something valuable with my life that could also allow me to lead because I need to eat and I have to pay bills, and that can also be something that I enjoy doing as much as possible, and that hopefully does not kill me too soon. Effects of the convergence of new technologies are way beyond what we have been thinking about or discussing. Even when you're regulating AI and creating new policies to deal with, you know, ethical AI or biases or data privacy, I think we are just living so many of the problems that are going to come. We talk about climate change, as we should. We talk about many issues, health problems. I just don't think that we spend enough time thinking about all the problems and have the right protocols that are actually actionable and that we actually use. Because we had protocols for pandemic and we didn't use them. So I am optimistic. I see the facts. And I think it is pretty clear that our life expectancy is better. Our health is better. Our education is better. Our economic development is better. Life of people is better in general. Now, is everybody better? No, not everybody is perfect. There's still more than 1 billion people living in extreme poverty. There's still more than 100 million girls that are sold for sexual exploitation. There's still many, many problems and wars being fought and even situations like the one that we're seeing now in Afghanistan that were a little bit better and now they turn into a nightmare. A friend from Afghanistan called me yesterday or sent me a message yesterday telling me that he needed to flee because the Taliban were looking for him and he's trying to see if there's a way to go to Pakistan. So I am optimistic because of the trends, and you see all the graphs and every indicator of every important measurement is definitely going in the right direction, at least most of them. Even when we're talking about climate action, the fact that we may not be able to change the temperature or the fact that we may not be able to do it on time does not reflect the fact that we are changing dramatically our economic and political systems and that we are actually trying to improve the way we treat the environment. It's getting better. We are more aware than ever, right? So even if it's not solved, whatever problem is not solved, we are trying. And I will finish with this. We see all these silo movements, right? You see the movement for women's rights and for climate change protection. And so we see all these different movements, right? Racial protection or justice, however you call it. So all these movements are indeed just part of the same movement. It's the movement of the SDGs. It is the movement of improving the world. We want to make things better. Most people want to make things better. And sometimes it's not clear. Sometimes you identify with one of those branches because you happen to be, you know, happier with that. But the reality is that we are, as a community, as a global community, we are actually trying to make things better. And the idea that people are evil by default, that every company is evil, that every executive in every company does not care and everything that they do is greenwashing. No, it's not true. There's a lot of amazing people that are really using their power to make things better. Sometimes people care more, sometimes they care less. Still, they're acting more than before. So I am optimistic because not only I see that there's many things that are better, but I also see that the fundamental engine, which is our society, our culture, and our desire and our role models, are actually gravitating towards what I call an impact economy and the improved movement.
Hey, Carlos, I'm very happy and actually agree with your assessment that we can be optimistic about the future. It is going to be a bumpy road. And I see your purpose in life in helping to take away those bumps as much as possible to get there.
Well, appreciate it. We just had a great conversation, and it's clear that we share so much. And there's a lot of things that, you know, I think are common sense, like the fact that we have networks that can be used to make things better, and that, you know, the importance of innovation, the importance of actually trying to, you know, focus on the right problems. I think there's things that are just, I would say, common sense for all of us, or should be easy to be agree on. But the problem that I see is that, you know, sometimes taking action is so much more difficult than just talking about it. And for a lot of people, seems to work the idea of talking about the problem as if they were solving it, just as if you're protesting and saying, I don't want a world with hunger. Well, that doesn't solve the problem. So it is good that you are against hunger. I think everybody is against hunger. Problem is, talking about a problem is not the same as working in the solution. And I think that we should encourage more action KPIs, more accountability, and more, you know, I would say more support to everybody that is trying to make things better in a practical way that can, you know, demonstrate that there is a potential positive outcome at the end of their work.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to end this conversation, this great conversation, Carlos, with one final question from my side. This is the brand called You. What's your brand? How do you want people to remember you? What do people have to think of?
As Carlos, you mean?
Yes.
Well, I would like to be useful. I would like people to remember me as a person that somehow did something that was useful for them, for their lives. I have the immense privilege to teach people and mentor people in different parts of the world. And the comments that I receive of, you know, that whatever I said, whatever I did, somehow improved their lives. That's what I would like to convey. Obviously, it's not a matter of what I communicate and I just say that I am useful. It's more, well, I'm going to try to be the best I can be and to touch as many lives as I can, as I possibly can. And hopefully some people think that I am useful for them. I don't know much about that. I just think that you have to work on yourself, which is what you can control, right? And if you try to be better and some people see you as evil, well, I am trying to be the best I can be. I know some people are going to attack us. I know some people are going to go against me. There's going to be people that disagree with me. People are going to think that I am full of that. I know. And I'm just going to try to do my thing. And if someone recognizes that it has been useful, great. And if no one recognizes it, at least I know that I am aligned with what I think I should be doing. And that should be enough, at least to sustain myself, even if people don't like me.
Hey, Carlos, I want to thank you so much time. And ladies and gentlemen, I had a conversation with Carlos Sentis. I would qualify you as a very useful person to know.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.